Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show here on your Wednesday morning when it is still, what's temperature out there, Carl? Can we tell? Is it two? What does
18?
That say? Is it 18 now?
I thought it was 14, so I guess it's gone up.
It was two this morning when I left the house. Let's put it that way. It was cold, and it's going to feel like a heat wave this afternoon if it gets into the 30s. So let's all take advantage of that. We'll be out there in short sleeves and shorts at some point. I'm just kidding.
It's all about perspective.
It will seem weirdly warm if it hits 40 degrees today or tomorrow for sure. Maybe it'll get rid of some more of that ice that we have hanging around and help the city street crews get those streets cleaned up for people like Carl Middleman.
So, how is your street, by the way?
So I've been parking on my house faces north, which means my house puts a shadow on the part where I would be parking, so none of that ice is melting.
Just all the sunshine has not helped at all.
So I've been parking on the north side of the street to let some sun get in there.
Yes.
But the city has clearly not done anything to
it. No,
nothing.
Not at all.
Down on the
I was driving on Forest Park Parkway by Wash U yesterday, and there is an entire lane that is just full of snow.
That's ridiculous. To one. Ridiculous. I saw a street yesterday over by 44, and it was completely covered. It looked like a dang rink.
I mean, forget having
to pay to go ice skating. Go get your skates out and skate down your street.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. It's still a mess out there in a lot of places, but don't worry about it. We got $74 million worth of Rams money we're giving away, so we're going to maybe that'll be too late. I was going to say they're not going to spend it on public safety. They're not going to spend it on street cleaning. Where's it going?
They want to spend $40 million of it to restore buildings in North City, but guess what? They're not hiring any more police officers to help patrol it because people don't care about a lot of those buildings in the city, and that's why you see a lot of these, you know, broken windows, and they're just trash everywhere and graffiti. And so, yeah, you're going to spend all this money and invest it into North City, and some of the people there are going to trash it. It's a complete waste of money. You need to hire people to actually enforce it and stop some of this criminal activity that you're seeing.
Thank you. Not a dime of it is going to law enforcement at all. Plus, they've even announced some raises, but my friends in the PD are saying it's a weak attempt and really insulting because it's not much of a raise, to be honest. Plus, they're cutting positions. Where do you go with that? All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Jeff Manasso about, speaking of police, a case that will be heard before the Supreme Court today dealing with when police should be able to use force. Like, what steps should they go through? Remember that silliness after Ferguson where they tried to, I think it was SB 5 or something, they tried to pass a bill that had requirements and all the steps an officer had to go through before they got to lethal force. I mean, they've got seconds to react in a situation like that, and you want them to go down a laundry list of things they could do before they have to pull their gun out. I mean, it's ridiculous, but the court's going to hear it today. We're going to check in with Jeff Manasso on that coming up. Charles Payne right after that. But first, here is our short list, Carl.
The Mark Cox Short List.
This is about the progress we've made and an effort to repeal that progress. And so don't fall for the false argument.
Yeah, that's Mark Morial. I think that guy used to be a mayor, maybe in New Orleans. I'm trying to remember. He's head of the Urban League now, and he is angry at the use of the word merit. He's all in on DEI, and he does not like people having to prove that they can actually do the job.
President Biden was amazing for the richest folks out there. He lavished them with trillions of dollars. Of course, it was his favorite businesses and industries. And it didn't matter if they struggled on their own.
Yeah, Charles Payne, we got him coming up at the bottom of the hour. He's talking there about the threats of oligarchs running the country. And he said Joe Biden failed to mention all of his own oligarchs that he lavished money on.
Today, roundups of criminal illegal aliens and the process of deporting them would begin. That seems to have been put on hold for a little while. When can we expect that to happen? Where will it begin?
No, it started.
Tom Homan, I love this guy, man. He makes time for the media. He's out there every day telling people, he's not hiding anything. Here's what we're doing. This is what the law is. And we have already started our enforcement services.
He didn't do what they alleged.
Jeff Goldfarb says his client, Jason Wallace, learned today that prosecutors were dropping charges against him and a co-defendant, Jared Luther Owens.
How about that? That Wallace guy is one of the locals who were arrested for being in Washington, D.C. on January 6th of 2021. Many of them railroaded, in my opinion, by the federal government. They've all been pardoned now. Many of them are coming home. And they're going to be able to speak out. I'm hoping we can get a couple of them on the show once they're out of jail, and hopefully they are by now and back home. I've reached out to their attorneys to see if we can get them on the radio here talking about it. Listen to part of this report from Channel 4 yesterday, talking to at least one of the attorneys for one of the guys who's been who's charged locally, the Wallace guy. Go to cut number 11, please.
He didn't do what they alleged.
Jeff Goldfarb says his client, Jason Wallace, learned today that prosecutors were dropping charges against him and a co-defendant, Jared Luther Owens.
The first thing he said he wants to do is just take his girlfriend out and go to dinner somewhere.
The two men prosecutors had said were on video shoving a bike rack into police, but Goldfarb says they were prepared to fight the charges.
His culpability, if there is any, was walking into the Capitol, looking around for about 5 minutes, not encountering anybody, turning around and leaving.
Yeah, doesn't that sound familiar? It should. I ran the bite earlier, and you can find it up there on the Facebook page and of the guy in D.C. who said, "Listen, they tried to tack on 20 years to what should have been at most a trespassing charge, and." It was either face 20 years or accept a lesser plea, and I did that. But I'm so thankful that Donald Trump came along and pardoned me from that nonsense, because it was clearly the intention was political, to blow the thing out of proportion, make it seem worse than it was, and start prosecuting people who did nothing criminal that day other than show up to listen to a rally. Go to cut number 12, Carl. There are about six or seven local folks who are benefiting from these pardons by President Trump.
They had the full force and weight of the federal government prosecuting them for sometimes a year or longer, and they didn't know what the outcome would be.
Charges for injuring people should be inexcusable. For those accused of lesser charges, he says they had been through enough.
Do I think they deserve pardons? Yes, I do.
Yeah, there you go. That's Ethan Corlegia, who's one of the attorneys for the local, one of the local folks who got charged in this case. So anyway, pardons all around. A lot of these folks, including Jacob Lang, out of jail this morning, and they are celebrating that fact. Celebrating, in many cases, by singing God Bless the USA. Remember that song? Listen to this as they got out of jail last night. A bunch of them chimed in on this. Listen.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I'd have to start again with just my children and my wife.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Not all of them were in tune, but they were all singing along with that song as they got out of jail last night. All right, coming up, we are going to get to Jeff Manasseh. We'll get more on that case involving the use of police force that will be held in front of the United States Supreme Court today. Stay tuned. So when is it appropriate for police to use force? The Supreme Court of the United States is going to take up that issue today because of a case that happened down near Houston, Texas, back in April of 2016. Guy, in a nutshell, a black guy is driving a rental car that belonged to his girlfriend, apparently, got pulled over because the police officer ran a plate and it showed that, I don't know, it had outstanding warrants or fines or something. Starts asking questions. The guy who was driving the vehicle was Ashton Barnes, was unable to produce any documents. Didn't have insurance, didn't have a driver's license. The cop asked him to step out of the car, And when the car door opened, instead, the guy, Barnes, threw the key into the ignition, started it, and tried to drive off while the officer was still in the door of the car. Like, he had opened the car and told the guy to get out of the way, and the car started moving, and he told him to stop, and he didn't stop, and he ended up firing into the car, and he killed the guy. And he was cleared of any wrongdoing by his department and by the outside officers that came in and looked at it. That wasn't good enough for his mother, who took the case to court. And apparently there's something at issue here called the moment of threat doctrine, which they're hoping the Supreme Court will kind of throw out in this case, which would open up police officers to all kinds of issues here. Jeff Manasso is covering this for Fox News Radio today. And Jeff, good morning to you.
Hey, it's good to be with you. Good morning. So the moment of threat doctrine, it addresses how much time can be taken into consideration when deadly force is used. The family obviously says that, you know, de-escalation efforts should have been used. But look, this cop was on the door sill of this car as the suspect put it into gear and started taking off. And he had a decision to make. But the suspect, his name, it was 24-year-old Ashtane Barnes, who was killed in this in 2016. And his family essentially says that, you know, the officers need to be held accountable for excessive force, and you know, that they continue to perpetrate a dangerous cycle of violence. But, you know, this was upheld by, I don't know how much you got into this, but it was upheld by the lower courts as well. But the thing is, in the lower court decision, or at least the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, they sided with police, but they also concluded that if not bound by the moment of the threat doctrine, and able to evaluate a broader array of evidence, that the court may have ruled a constitutional violation had taken place. So this is a really important case for both sides, for police officers. We've seen time and time again over the last several years what a split second decision can do. I spent a lot of time in your neck of the woods, you know, eight, 10 years ago, and over the same thing. So it means a lot to police officers. Obviously it means a lot to the other side and to this family. But the National Sheriff's Association wrote, you know, an amicus brief for the case that the suspect, that they filed in support of the police officer, that his life was in danger and he had to make a split second decision. And by disobeying the officer's order, the suspect is at fault. And so, you know, I don't know when the high court will rule on this, probably not for months, but you know that the police associations and law enforcement agencies are going to be watching this decision very carefully.
A lot at stake. Has this been challenged before? I mean, in lower courts?
So in this particular case, a lower court sided with the police officers. It was then appealed by this person's family members, and then the Fifth Circuit out of New Orleans also sided with police officers as well. So that's why family's taking this to the U.S. Supreme Court. But again, the appeals court said, if not for this doctrine, you know, we might have been able to look at, you know, more broader issues and decide in favor of the plaintiffs.
All right, and the arguments happen today before the Supreme Court. Jeff, I appreciate your time this morning. Yeah. Thank you.
You bet.
Yep, Jeff Manasso there reporting. Just for the record, this Barnes kid, the gun was found in the car, but the officer never alleged that he saw a gun. He felt his life was at risk because he was trapped between the door and the wall as the car started to take off, and he told the guy to stop. And the family's like, well, he was innocent. He was going to pick up his girlfriend's daughter at school. He didn't do anything wrong. why was he running? I mean, there's a lot of questions there. Why were you disobeying the officer? So a lot of groups will be watching this, particularly pro-law enforcement groups, to see how the Supreme Court argues on this particular case today. Hopefully the doctrine stands, because a lot more police lives will be lost if it doesn't, for sure. All right, coming up, Charles Payne. Good to get him back on here. Can't wait to get his thoughts on some of the actions taken by the president and this big investment in AI that was announced yesterday. Stay tuned.
These world-leading technology giants are announcing the formation of Stargate. So put that name down in your books, because I think you're going to hear a lot about it in the future. A new American company that will invest $500 billion at least in AI infrastructure in the United States, and very, very quickly, moving very rapidly, creating over 100,000 American jobs almost immediately.
What kind of a country do we want to be going forward?
Charles Payne, host of Making Money.
I want to be that country that was number one, really enjoyed being number one, and did everything it could to stay number one.
Charles Payne, back on the air with us, my friend. How have you been?
I'm great. It's been too long.
It has been too long. I think I'm going to use some of my Trump coin proceeds to buy into Skynet. What do you think?
You might as well.
I'm just telling you. What do you think about this thing? I mean, I'm glad the U.S. has taken the lead in it. $500 billion? I mean, Trump didn't waste any time.
He didn't waste any time. You know, on my show about 2 or 3 months ago, I played a clip of Masa's son at a conference, and he said overall it's going to take $9 trillion to make this, you know, to take it to its ultimate potential. You know, and it's just something that's real. You know, maybe two, 3 weeks ago, China unveiled their sort of AI product, and it surprised a lot of people. It was a lot better than folks thought. This is a serious race, and you know, we've got to win it, and we want to definitely win it. We want to own it, and you know, obviously, there's all kinds of people involved, so there's all kinds of ulterior motives, and you know, like Larry Ellison kept bringing up vaccines. I kept cringing every time he said the word.
Yeah.
But I also know that Larry Ellison is spending a fortune trying to live forever, so, you know, he's got his own motivations, right?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, what about the criticism that the president's taken over this this Trump coin? I mean, this thing went gangbusters, right? What's the market cap on it?
I don't know. You know, I'm not even watching it, honestly. I have my hands full. I got to be honest with you, Mark. I'm making people more money than I've ever made them in my life. I mean, it's really what we're doing right now. Rockets. Listen, invest in rockets. Invest in, you know, space rockets, robots, AI. We're in a fourth industrial revolution, and you know, the only problem is sometimes people want to get it, you know, make so much overnight.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, and it happens, but it's not, you know, you got to pinch yourself. You got to stick with your rules. But, you know, I'm not messing around with those coins, man. I mean, I've got a Bitcoin. That's good enough for me. And, you know, the other stuff, God bless them. You know, there's a lot of folks who think it's unethical. I don't have an opinion on that. You know, I think as long as everything's above board, right? You know, it's above board. You know who it is. It's not anything shady. If you don't like it, don't buy it.
Yeah, I think it's a great point.
Hey, I have to ask you about what I heard some, I think, liberal analysts talking about, where they were saying, you know, everyone blamed Biden for inflation and for high gas prices and all of these things that we've seen over the last number of months, or arguably years. And they were trying to say, you know, the president really doesn't have that much influence over that. Now, I understand to a degree that that's probably true, but I would argue what he did with oil and all of these things, that absolutely does have an impact. So what kind of an impact do you think Donald Trump really can have?
I think first and foremost, and it's understated, is enthusiasm. You know, there's no such thing as really, really being ultra successful by accident. There's got to be a certain amount of optimism that goes into these things. In other words, we have to buy into it. It's like going to watch a sci-fi movie about someone who finds some ember, and there's a mosquito in there that bit a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And we've got to believe that they could bring that dinosaur to life. And you know, and what happens in economies, no matter what the economic system is, you know, a large portion of success depends on the populace buying into it, because now we're willing to go and make the investments. We're willing to have the patience. We're willing to be, you know, it's so much to be said for that, you know, and that the tonality, just think about AI, for instance, right? the Biden administration, they were roping it in. They had criticism. They're always criticizing successful people anyway. And now Trump is saying, hey, let's unleash it. Let's let it go to where it's going to go, because we're not the only players, right? We're not the only country in the world that wants to dominate, and that's going to be the way to leverage it. So I think that has a big role. And then I think policy has a big role. You know, Biden pumped a lot of money into the economy that it did not need, and that's what triggered 40-year high inflation. And he never stopped. You know, it wasn't just the $2 trillion to fight COVID, wink, wink. It was, you know, it was the Infrastructure Act. It was the CHIPS Act. It was the Inflation Reduction Act. All of this put money in the economy. And many times, I mean, we gave money to semiconductor companies, the richest companies on the planet. Why are they getting taxpayer money? I'd rather have someone like Trump say, hey, listen, I'll usher it in. I'll control it, help to, you know, keep guardrails on it. But we're not going to take taxpayer money, because the fact of the matter is, when these things do very well, we don't get any money. We don't get a dividend check. And then when they fall apart, we're just saddled with more debt. You know, so all of those EV things, you should see these EV stocks in the last year and these solar stocks. I'm in one called Enphase. Oh, my God, I'm down like 60%. I got crushed in this bad boy. So, you know, trying to pick winners and losers with taxpayer money, I think, is a mistake.
It's a good point. Charles Payne with us right now, of course, from Fox Business Network. And, you know, Charles, I'm watching a new show called Landman, and I love it. It's all about the oil industry and, you know, where gas prices are and oil prices are and all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, because the main complaint I've heard from these liberals is the snarky comments. Well, my gas prices aren't down yet. I thought he was going to do that on day one. That was never the point. The point is drill, baby, drill. I mean, there's got to be a lot of momentum out there among these energy companies right now.
Yeah. Oil just broke out recently, and some energy stocks are doing okay. You know, what's interesting, though, the more oil we drill, if the price goes too low, it's not going to necessarily help them. I think their sweet spot, no pun intended, is about $70, $68. But yeah. I watched the first 5 or 6 episodes. I'm so-so. I love the lead actors and stuff, but golly, some of them is like, do we need that?
Yes.
By the way, why are they so accident-prone? These guys have been doing this for 30 years. All of a sudden, he's standing on a pile of pipes. Like, my man, you learned that the first year. You know, every episode someone's in a hospital. What the hell's going on? But it does underscore the fact that this is a hard gig, that it's not easy, that it's high risk, that it takes a lot of money. You drill a dry hole, no one pays for it. And to your point, these projects, you know what saved Biden with respect to oil? New Mexico. The New Mexico Permian Basin. No one talked about it, but it was something that was already in the pipeline. Again, no pun intended. And so what Trump is going to pull off, or what Trump is going to be able to do, is to unlock, you know, these sort of, you know, these drilling permits. But you get the permits, then you raise the money, then you start the drilling. And the results of these things will be felt and seen years down the road, not tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. What you got coming up on the show today?
Oh, man. Well, you know, obviously, I got to hit this AI stuff really, really hard. Quantum, I don't know. It's been a while since we talked. So November 20th, I did a show and I talked about quantum computing. No one on financial media anywhere talked about it. I featured 3 stocks. 2 went up 1,000%. No, 1,000%. So then Jensen Huang from NVIDIA 3 weeks ago comes out and says, it's premature. This stuff won't be anything for 15, 30 years. They get hammered. They're coming back, and guess who's talking quantum? Jensen Huang. So I'll talk about AI. I'll talk about quantum. We just began earnings season. And again, the tariffs and all these other things. I think right now animal spirits supersedes everything.
Yeah, there you have it. You know, hey, Charles, I just got to tell you, I watched you on the Water show last night. Man, that suit that you had on was the bomb. Can I just tell you that?
Tell
Waters to get a wider shot of you next time, like they were cutting off your shoulders. I couldn't see it.
All right, you got it.
All right, buddy, take care.
See you guys later.
All right, I'll see you later. That suit was awesome.
Was it the brown one I was just
looking? Yeah, with the stripes on it, the big stripes.
That is nice looking.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, you talk about some fashion taste. Charles got it going on.
Come on, Mark, you're a trendsetter.
No one ever. For sure.
You don't want to wear your tuxedo into the office?
I do not. If I could avoid it.
You could wear a suit like that.
I did have to dig my tux out the other day. I bought one when I worked at Channel 4 years ago because I would MC events, and I hated having to, you know, going to rent one's a pain in the rear end, and it's expensive. So I finally just bought one. And I had to dig it out the other day because I thought if I made it to D.C., I had a chance of going to one of those balls, and I was going to have to dress up in a monkey suit if I actually did that. And it still fits. So I was happy about that.
Well, that's the positive.
I do have
that's
one.
That's the silver lining in all of this. I know your trip was basically ruined and canceled. You didn't get to go see him in person. But you know what? Gosh darn it. The tuxedo fits.
The tux still fits from all those years ago when I was still working where what I wore mattered. There you have it. All right. Coming up, we were kicking around some names for the group that follows us there on the socials, the YouTube, the Facebook, and all that, and got some interesting suggestions. We'll let you hear some of those right after this. Stay tuned.
You should try the cockpit.
Using his initials. Good morning. In reference to a new name for the Mark Cox Morning Show, how about using his initials like MC's Crew, MC's Morning Groupies, or something like that?
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Thank you,
Tammy.
Thank you, Tammy. The idea here was never to get a new name for the morning show. It will continue to be the Mark Cox Morning Show, but there was the nickname just for the online for folks that
Joshua
follow us.
Was on the right track.
Yes, yeah, you know, for the people who are on YouTube each morning and Rumble, if the folks that join us there, Facebook, X, we got a lot of folks who chime in during the course of the show, and we were just looking for some sort of a nickname for them. So I don't know if we've come close to settling on anything. Did you have anything that you liked, Kim?
Robert Shaw. Oh, I'm sorry, Kim.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm trying to remember. There were quite a few that were thrown out,
yeah,
including some very funny ones.
Some we can't read. Robert
right.
Shaw on YouTube says, the fans of the show should be called Markers.
Ah, there you go. I don't know. Maybe. Let's see what the markers think. What do you think? Does that roll off the tongue?
The cocksateers.
Now, trust me now when I tell you that having grown up with that last name, I've heard it all through the years. I have. Good and bad, and getting teased in high school and all that stuff. I joke that until I punched somebody in the nose, most of those jokes didn't stop. And then after that, people thought twice before they came up with something too smart. I'm past that now. I don't no longer have PTSD about it, so I can take it all in good jest.
Somebody called on the phone lines and said the Regulators.
There you go.
I like David, who said on YouTube, Mark's Militia.
There you go. I like that.
You don't have to go
the
with your last name, the MCMS Misfits.
Let's get to the Militia, yeah, and find out what they think on there. But doesn't Wiggins already call Trisha Militia?
Yes.
So you got to watch that. Too.
Mm. All right, we'll keep thinking.
We'll work on it. We appreciate your input. There were some good ones on there.
And we
this
just
morning.
Threw it out there. We don't have to go with any.
No,
of them.
We don't. We're not married to any of it.
Marxists.
The Marxists.
Yeah.
That's never gonna work.
That's funny.
But it's
come
with
on.
A C, not with an X.
Yeah.
Marxist.
The Marxists. Yeah, I get it.
They follow you, not Karl.
Not
Marx.
Karl.
The lefties will say, "I knew you guys were crazy."
So, you know, one thing we haven't talked about this morning is in talking to Jane Duker, is this Kelly Dunaway story is just hilarious to me. We knew she was a left-wing nut from the time she was on county council with some of the crazy things she supported. Sam Page appointed her to that position, and she announced last year she wasn't running for re-election because she didn't like politics too much. And now they've found out that her new business is... she's a witch. Did you know that?
Is she? She actually says witch because some of these ladies will say I'm Wiccan.
I don't know.
Basically a witch.
Listen to Duker describe what her new business is here. Hold on here. Hold on, Carl. That's my fault. I turned my audio down because I wasn't sure what was playing over here. Hang on. Here we go. All right. Should be up now. Not working. Oh, still my fault, Carl. Come on. Time is ticking away here. I want to play this from Jane. Here we go.
Well, she has now set up a new business, and it's called Legal Witchcraft. So she sells magical self-care kits. She sells spells. Like, you could get your own spell, like a personalized spell. And I'm like, no,
what?
This is what... She has a website.
Yeah.
She has a website where you can purchase these services.
Yeah.
Currently so Googling.
She has a website now. You know who it reminds me of was Christine O'Donnell. Remember her? She ran for Senate, I think, somewhere up on the East Coast. And she was in a pretty tight primary. And somebody spread the word that she was a witch. Do you remember that? And she came out and she ran the weirdest ad to convince people that she wasn't. And it went something like this. Hold on here.
I'm not a witch. I'm nothing you've heard. I'm you.
This stuff is twisted. I mean, this is like being a Christian. This is not okay.
I'm not a
like
witch.
Ouija boards and all this
tarot cards and everything. Yeah, I know.
Hand reading, palm readings, whatever they're called, psychics. I do not mess around with this stuff. I don't think anybody should be messing around with this stuff. She's going down a very dark path.
Thank goodness she's not on the county council anymore. But yeah, there you go. Gives you an idea what you were dealing with there, right? Hey, stay tuned. We'll get to the very latest on all the nomination hearings and the drama up in the nation's capital right now with Brian Kilmeade coming up here in just a few minutes. Of course, Annie and Mark in later today. And we'll see you back here Thursday morning. Have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.